Hello, my name is Isabel. I am 25 years old, and today is January 14th, 2020. I'm on Long Island, New York, and Mariah is my interview partner, and she is my friend and colleague.
Hi, my name is Mariah. I'm 23 years old. Today is January 14th, 2021. I'm in Nanjing, China. And my interview partner is Isabel, and we are friends and colleagues. So do we, how are you doing today, Isabel?
I'm all right. So I just woke up. You've already had like a whole day in Nanjing.
Yeah, it's tempting here. I'm sitting in our office space that you haven't seen yet because we moved to a new place after
Yeah,
the
so
pandemic.
I left China in on February 1st, 2020. It feels like a very fateful day. And yeah, so I haven't been back, and it's going to be a year very soon, of what was supposed to be a 2-year fellowship. So
Wow.
yeah.
What was it on the first
Of
of 2020?
February.
Wow. It doesn't feel like that long ago. Yeah, like that long ago, but I think I noticed it more when because we all used to live together with another fellow named Suma, and I notice it more when I like go home at night. And I walk up and the lights are off because we live on the third floor. And it used to be like the lights were always on, but because I'm the only one living there, it's yeah, that those are times when I miss you guys the most.
Yeah. Whenever I do activities that would normally be group activities, like eating lunch or planning lessons, they feel extra lonely because I know I'm supposed to be doing them in a group, not on Long Island. So that's when it feels like extra like prescient that we're not all together.
Yeah, and especially now, how have you been adjusting to like grading finals this week? Because it's been such a long semester, and also the time zone and collecting assignments and all that.
I think that's a good question. I think that I've definitely not been like as present as an instructor as just because like being remote and also like everything that's going on in the United States. It feels like every day is there are like new things to brief yourself on and new things to be outraged about, and new things that are making us unsafe. So I think like that's definitely affected my how much I am available to students, compounded with the time difference. Makes things extra hard. It's not so easy to just like yeah just be present with them. And so I think that's like reflecting onto my finals grading too, like you said, because I don't feel comfortable like assigning like really strict grading policies or like really high expectations because like my own expectations for myself have not been what they usually are. So I think it's more a bit about just like being lax and giving people the benefit of the doubt than anything else. How do you think it's affected you?
Well, before I talk about that, I just wanted to say like I te we teach many of the same students, and sometimes they mention you in class, but they always say how much they love your class, even the ones this semester and last semester, which were both online. And so I don't think they don't feel at all that you haven't been present. They actually really enjoy your classes, and a lot of them are looking forward to the ones next semester, even though we kind of know that at least they'll start remote. I'm still holding on to hope that you'll come back, which maybe I shouldn't, but yeah, I still imagine that day. We have very similar teaching philosophies, and I think we talk about this a lot when, we have our random chats here and there, or when like I text you about, how my day went, and that even though I'm in China and even though I'm back in the classroom, I still feel the toll of the pandemic on the students, and I feel it on myself too. And so I, even though I'm in the classroom, sometimes I apologize to them and I'm like, I'm sorry, I'm not really present.
Absolutely, yeah.
Even though I'm there.
I think that's completely understandable. It's hitting us all so hard. It's completely not fair. Like we're in this situation because like the government has abandoned us. And that's like falling, that's not a weight, that's like falling evenly on all people. And there's really no other way to feel about it other than just awful. And
yeah, and it really helps that we talk and we text about it from time to time, but I think actually until right now, I haven't actually put my feelings into words. I haven't told anyone. Like sometimes I feel like a terrible teacher because I don't know how to describe it. Like it's just like to not be present, it makes me feel terrible. But at the same time, you always remind me to be like that we're doing the best we can. And so yeah, I was actually reading through some, I did like this little exit interview exercise to get a sense of what students thought about the class. And I think it was real, this was like 2 weeks ago. And so I got some really negative comments from a few people. And I think that's what was kind of was hard for me. But I remember texting you at that time, and you, like you always do, you reassured me that we were just doing the best we could. And we are.
Yeah. We're also, I think it's important to remember, sometimes this helps me feel better, is that like we're not trained teachers in any way. Like we're really doing this all by ourselves. And I mean, that's fine. It's like what the program is. And it's a great opportunity for us to learn, but also like we haven't even like scratched the surface of like what is possible in the classroom, and that's okay. Like that's like we're not expected to like be able to do everything, because people go to school for like years to be able to do that, and they like teach for like a decade before they're like, maybe even like fully comfortable in the classroom.
Right.
So
right.
We're trying to accelerate that process by a lot, and we're doing it like by ourselves. So.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel like the past year and a half has pushed you in the direction of teaching?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
More?
Yeah, it's just, not that I've like really been doing a lot of this the last year, but it is nice to be able to support a student from like start to finish on a project. Again, like I haven't really been 100% on that.
Well, no, you have.
Not really.
You have.
But the intent is there on both the student and my side. And I do think like I'd like to explore that relationship more. And that draws me to teaching as a career. And like actually like learning, from trained professionals, what that's going to look like.
That's really exciting. But Well, okay. Mm-hmm. So I was talking to a student of yours who I had a year ago, and they were talking about your storybook project. And they actually really enjoyed it. So I think even though you can't be here, they feel connected to your class and the material. And I think that's a really important thing. At least they're like learning and they're really engaged in it. I actually remember when you first did that type of project, when we first got to Nanjing before the whole pandemic, and to see the things they turned in and how proud they were of the books they created.
That was cool. A lot of them, like, yeah, they were like, oh, I'm not an artist. Like, I'm not going to be able to do this. But everybody found, like, an art medium that worked best for them,
yeah,
which was great. So last semester was, like, hard for you because you had to, like, transition halfway. I mean, it was hard for a lot of reasons, but, like, you had to, you know, come back to Nanjing halfway through. So thinking of next semester, you know, you'll be there for the whole semester. Like, is there something that maybe like you're looking forward to, or something that, I don't know, maybe you're worried about? I don't know. What are your thoughts on next semester?
Yeah. You know, this sounds kind of silly. No, I mean, not silly, but I'm actually scared to make plans for the future. That sounds very dark, but I mean it in the sense that, like, so much is uncertain that I'm honestly scared to, you know, sit down and think about how a whole semester will look, because I'm afraid that something will happen with COVID, and then, you know, something like what happened last spring will happen again. But I think a lot of that is because, like, my family is in California, and so, like, as I need to, I tell myself that I should stop reading the news, but it's kind of hard, and so I think I haven't actually thought about that, but I'm really excited to be teaching a new class on British and American short stories, and I actually am going to teach a book that you taught before called House on Mango Street.
Nice.
Yeah. What about you? Knowing that
everything online. You said resonates. It feels like, I don't know why this is the word that comes to mind, but it feels decadent to plan for a whole, like, half a year in advance.
No, that's a great word.
Yeah, I don't know. It feels like some kind of luxury.
It really does.
So. I don't know. It's hard to.
Mm-hmm. I think. Yeah.
No.
Oh, go ahead. Oh. Well, I know for a fact that I'll be doing a lot of sitting in our office or like in cafes by myself, grading and reading student work and planning classes, and I know that we'll also still support each other, like, over, you know, text and phone calls and things like that, but yeah, I know that I'll be alone, and I think it's funny because that's actually one of the scariest things that I was most afraid of before we even started the fellowship. I was like, I don't know anyone in Nanjing, and I, you know, we hadn't met, and I didn't know what it would be like to live and work together, but
understandable. Yeah, I had like some also like hesitations, also like being back here and like in the US, and I also feel very lonely. So I hear you on that.
Yeah.
Yes.
How have you dealt with that?
I haven't. Like, I was reflecting on like doing this like StoryCorps and stuff, and a lot of things about the pandemic, like, this is my first time like really thinking about. I guess I've been trying to like push them aside, and just kind of like keep looking forward, which is not healthy, but it's tempting.
No, I mean, we're all still living through it. So, And I remember, like, last spring, was it hard for you to adjust being back in the United States so suddenly and without plan? Because we were supposed to be going to Hainan then for our vacation.
Yeah, we were supposed to be traveling and eating good food and, making memories. So I don't know if it was like hard to adjust to being in the United States, but it was definitely hard to accept the fact that like this feels so like silly in the grand scheme of things, but it did, like, it was really sad to like admit like I'm not returning to China. Like, this like 2-year commitment I made is like a 3-month commitment, and it's like very upsetting. But that was like before I knew that there was going to be a vaccine and stuff. So there's like hope being renewed.
Mm-hmm.
But that first coming back was not fun.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's possible you might still come back in some way, in some shape or form. Well, I hope so. I think about that like every day. Because it's funny, your shoes and all your belongings. Uh-huh. I see your shoes outside on the shoe rack outside your door. And so I pass by it every day.
Yeah, it's hard because like all of my memories in Nanjing are like with you, so every time like I think of Nanjing, like I think of you and I think of us hanging out and getting to know one another, and how that like was just really abruptly halted.
But it was we did a lot in the time that we were there. We had a lot of good memories, and I don't know if this is the right word, but it was very easy. We would get lost, like we got lost on our first couple of days here, and it was fun. And we made friends with people, like when we would get jimping and dumplings. We used to eat dumplings a lot. and the people, the community members still remember you. And every time I walk by, they're like, where's your friend? Is she okay?
Wow. I don't really know what to say. That is, I just know that if we, I just know that if we had that full 2 years together, it would have been the best 2 years ever. Like, we would have had an amazing time together.
Yeah. It was the best 3 months of ever. And we can also, we will travel together in the future, and, you know, who's to say that we won't live in a different country or together at some point.
We have no idea what the world is going to be like. Literally anything is possible. We have learned that anything can happen.
So how are you planning on spending your day today?
I haven't done, so for each, you know how for each final, we have to like download the final. We have to make a rubric for it with the student's ID and name. And then we have to do that like approximately 120 mm-hmm. times. So I haven't made any of the rubrics yet. I've just like been keeping tabs in like on a separate paper of like what each student's grade is. So I have to go and create all the rubrics?
Don't worry. Okay, I haven't done that either.
Honestly, that feels like the hardest part.
Yeah. No, I also, like, because we both can't read Chinese very well, just making sure we don't mess up on the characters and the mm-hmm. their IDs and the mm-hmm. names. And also because we have so many students.
Absolutely. Yeah. What, how are you going to, tomorrow is Saturday, is it? No.
Yeah, Friday. Friday.
Oh, that's
Friday.
Embarrassing, that's on tape. So.
You know, it's a hard time difference.
How will you be spending your Friday?
You know, it's funny because I'm going to be doing the exact same thing as you, and I can just imagine you doing it because, you know, we've done it together before. Tomorrow I think I'm going to go to that cafe we used to go to mm-hmm. on Shanghai Road and you know, just sit there and get it done. We still have some time, but yeah. I don't feel rushed for some reason, but maybe I should.
Yeah. I have a couple students who haven't even turned in their final yet, so that's okay. I'm taking my cues from them.
Yeah, I have. you know, they're probably tired and struggling as well. We talked about this like a couple months ago, I think. About like how you were finding happiness in your everyday life. And I think at the time it was like when a fall, and you said that you would make like get a pumpkin spice latte. How do you find joy like these days?
That's a good question. It is a good question. We should be asking ourselves that.
Thank you.
Don't know that I have an answer. The last, like, it's so weird that everything has to be normal and on like a normal schedule while we're in this pandemic. So applying to grad school is like just taking up a lot of my time, and so that's like, yeah, it's just not fair. Yeah,
it'll be nice to get
a that we all have to like just chug along as if things are fine and easy when they're not.
That's a good point. I struggle a lot with that too, because like here things are a bit more normal. I think people, at least on the surface, they look that way. But it's hard for me to explain why I'm still anxious all of the time, and I can't shake that feeling, because I worry so much about what's going on in the US and my family and friends, and I even feel like guilty sometimes that I didn't go back, you know, when I could have. But yeah, like you said, there's some hope at the end of the tunnel, I guess, with the vaccine.
Yeah. I hope that it accelerates soon, and that everyone that you are thinking of every day and all of your loved ones are vaccinated very quickly. Because, yeah, it's all of your feelings are understandable, and I can't believe that we're living through this. It's
Yeah, and you're talking about applying to grad school, like despite everything, like it's I don't
Yeah,
under
it was
it's
nuts.
hard for me to wrap my head around that too. I don't know if it's better to just keep moving as if everything were normal, or if like as a society we should seriously like think about how this is not normal. Like I can't believe the election or the inauguration is next week too. And that's, with everything that's happened just in the last week.
Oh, sure. Yes, I agree. I think it's I don't I think you're right. Like you're definitely correct that we should it's never healthy to just like ignore things and compartmentalize and move on. I agree that we should like as a society. I would also like us to take a moment to reminisce on happier times, such as the time that we first met. I think that would, yeah.
I actually remember that day very well. We were supposed to meet at LAX on the plane. We were on the same flight out of
Oh
LA to
no.
Nanjing. Isabel was you were coming from you were coming
I was coming
from
from New York.
do you remember that,
Oh,
Isabel? You were
I
coming
sure
from New York
do.
that day. Do you remember that day?
Yeah.
Yeah. And like I was waiting for you. And then I saw your text about how your plane took off late and I started counting. Like, there's the 3 hour time difference. I was like counting and I was like, wait, there's not enough hours to, until our next flight. Yeah, but you actually made it with like 10 minutes to spare and
The biggest
you
airport
ran
in the
through like the
world.
tunnels of LAX. You had to go to like from terminal like 1 to 2 or something and you ran and I remember distinctly like there was still time. The flight actually took off early, but they refused to wait for
But
you.
you
Or maybe they
asked.
just couldn't,
You
but
stood up for
yeah,
me. And that
I did ask.
literally has cemented you
And they were
in
very
my brain.
confused.
Yeah.
They were confused why I wasn't traveling with you. I think that was very confusing. And I was like, no, we're meeting here. So I got to Nanjing and I actually there was like seats open on that flight. So I was like, I was imagining, oh, if we had been on it together. But I remember you arrived like maybe half a day later. And meeting you at the entrance of campus. You had your two suitcases and like a backpack. And then we had to roll them up that are the very steep hill of where we live.
Yeah, with the cobblestones
Yeah.
and everything was like bouncing. And then we
It
had to
was
take it up
very
the
nice though.
stairs.
Oh yeah, so 3 flights of stairs. Very heavy. It was nice though because we had been texting for a couple months before that, just talking about the fellowship and planning for our, like moving abroad, and how that was going to go. But it was very helpful. And very exciting to get to know you even before we met in person. Because I could just tell that we would get along.
Me too. I remember going where I remember what we got for lunch. I was like so determined to stay awake the whole day.
You did.
And yeah, successfully. And so we really had a jam-packed day. Like we went for lunch with Suma at it was like a small plate restaurant. So like we got that like I think it was grilled. I can't remember. I think it might have been cheese with like sugar.
Cheese. It's
Yeah.
I think it's like Yunnan cheese or something like that.
It was so good. And it was nice just to like get to know one another and just share food. Yeah, and then we got our SIM cards.
Yes, with our two student assistants.
Yes. That was delightful. Yeah. We were all over the world that day. Well, literally,
Yeah.
but
And then And then I remember, I think it was the day after we got noodles at that place, the halal place.
Heck yeah, that was so good.
And your glasses broke.
Oh my God, that was the day my glasses fell right off my face. Yep. And then I was lit. You saw it. No one would believe it, but I'm so glad you witnessed it. It just fell right off my face and broke into my bowl of soup. And then the next day, we went to go get new glass, these glasses.
Oh, you're still
And
wearing them.
yes. And you taught me how to say Huayla means broken.
They actually, I went there last week to get my glasses fixed, and they remembered us. So I guess I made an
Really?
impression. Yeah, it's the same employees who work there still.
I'm glad they're well.
What
They're well.
yeah, what are some of your most favorite memories from our life here?
I honestly I remember a lot of it pretty well, which I don't really have a great memory, but it's just yeah, it was so every day was great. I think some of my favorite memories is our holiday celebrations. So like when we did like a big potluck, and also the visiting lecturer was there with us. That
Meg.
was, yes, that was fun.
I wonder how she's doing from time to
I
time.
know, right? Yeah, in France or wherever she is, who knows? And honestly, like those cold mornings where we like still were sleepy and we like went to McDonald's and we're like, yeah,
Breakfast.
the only people in there, their first customers are there. Yeah, it's just like little things that stick out like that. Sharing a meal in the canteen and debriefing how our classes went. Those feel like the most precious. What about you?
For me too. Like the little things. Especially we would take the bus, like things that were seem like so far away these days. We would take the bus for an hour. And then I remember that time we went hiking for like 7 hours, even though we both kind of didn't want to do it. And then we got to the top and it wasn't that clear, but it felt great. It felt like we had accomplished something. And I felt like we saw all of Nanjing that day from the top down.
Absolutely. Yeah, I feel like that for me personally, it kind of like stretched of what like I thought I was capable of. Like I could do like a big hike like that. And it was so steep, some of it. And we did it. And we had
We
great
did
company all along.
it.
And yeah.
Yeah, so I also think about the little moments. And it's funny because I feel like since I've been back in Nanjing, it's been a couple of months, I do the same things that we used to do together. And I see the same people. And yeah, it's very interesting because when I do things alone, they aren't as fun. But I don't think I realized, that was why they were fun before. Just mundane tasks.
Like getting boba. That was something that we like always did together. Like if I wanted boba, obviously I'm gonna text Brian and be like, hey, let's go for a walk. Like,
I really
or
like
getting
your walks.
getting fruit smoothies. Yeah, or fruit juice. Yeah.
Fruit juice. Oh yes, fruit juice from the place in the back of campus. They're still open. It's the same employees in there, as nice as ever. I just went there
Good.
yesterday, but
Oh.
it's not the same. And I think, yeah, it's probably how everyone feels, but So I know we're still living through this, but what's a moment that was like peak pandemic for you?
That's a hard question because I think maybe like that first day of shelter in place, March 13th, when everybody kind of was on the same, but
mostly.
It felt like the largest amount of people that would ever be on the same page about it were on the same page. Mm-hmm. And so there was this like collective sense of like doom.
Yeah, that's a good way to
describe it. But also like very confusing. Like, what is this? What's happening? What about you?
Yeah, so March was like when, you know, the United States recognized it, I think. But I think it was actually in early February when I was in Hainan and like things shut down. And I was with relatives that I hadn't seen in like 18 years, but they, you know, I had never felt more lonely, but I just wanted to say, like, in that moment, you were still there for me, and I appreciate it so much, because I remember being in this tiny village in this rural place, and they didn't have thermometers, and you were the first one to be like, how can I contribute, how can I help, how can we make sure like thermometers get there so they can at least like, you know if people have a temperature and need to seek help.
Yeah. That was.
And the thermometers came and it's a very vulnerable population of older citizens and yeah, I made sure to show them pictures of you. I don't know if I'll be able to go back during the Lunar New Year this year because, you know, of the new mutation and, you know, COVID is also spreading a bit here. But for sure, if I do, I will show them pictures of how you're doing and hopefully this.
Yeah, definitely. I just want to say, thank you for being my friend and for being always so honest and so yourself. And sometimes it's really hard to connect over text because you can only get like as much as like each other writes. But like, I feel like we're both like honest with each other and I don't know.
No,
just yeah, like yeah, definitely. Thank you for always.
And thank you. Your texts are a highlight to my days.
Me too.
You're a great listener, so thank you.
And as are you, Mariah.
Thanks. I miss you so much, Isabel.
It's
so nice for us to chat today. And at least start, you know, unraveling our feelings.
Absolutely. Thank you for speaking with me today, Mariah.
I had so much